Capes and Scowls podcast. Now with 23% more Leander. Going strong since 2010.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new minisode. Hello. Possibly number 5. But maybe number 8.
This is actually, I think we're...
It might be like 6.
6.
You know 5. What? It doesn't fucking matter, does it?
Isn't that 4 to 7 range?
Yeah. It's not double digits yet. We're going to do some comic reviews today. We're also going to talk about our pull bins. We're going to talk about a bunch of things.
Yeah. Maybe we should start off with the Magic thing, right?
Sure. There's a new release for Magic. The new set, Kanza Takir, is out. A lot of people raving about it. There's a lot of monetary value in the set so far. People are just going nuts with it.
That's good.
It's the first set of the new block. It's going to be around for a while and relevant in standard format, so a lot of people are excited about it.
Yeah.
Morph is a big part of it.
Not from X-Men.
No, not from X-Men.
Wolverine, no!
Morph.
What does Morph do? What is the mechanics of that?
You flip a character upside down. It's a 2/2 creature, and you can pay to morph it back. So it's like, hey, I block your character. Oh, okay. I morph it back, and now it's a bigger creature, and it fucks your day up.
Interesting.
Ruins your plan.
Okay.
It's not my favorite mechanic, but it is a cool mechanic. Combine that with, it looks like vampires might come back. Mm-hmm. Goblins definitely are coming back. Nice. And a lot of people like goblins. I like goblins. Yeah, so... So, for you Magic fans, there's that.
That's good.
It looks like a cool set. I'll probably go buy a fat pack when we're done.
The one comment I've heard that I thought was interesting in terms of describing it, because I don't really play Magic anymore, because I just play casually, is that because of what's in there, the things that cost money, like Fetchlands are in there.
Right.
Which now brings down the cost of Fetchlands significantly.
But potentially. They'll go back up.
Okay, and they'll go back
up. To a degree.
But more importantly, there's decks now that you can actually afford to make that you could never have afforded to make before.
Correct.
If you're, especially if you're a casual player trying to get into it, you would never go that route. So this is a good opportunity for people.
Yep. Absolutely. So that, I guess let's go to our pull bin discussion
first. This is a sad discussion. I don't even know how we talk about it.
All right, well, let's not. Let's talk about our comic reviews.
No. Let's be sad for a second and then be super excited.
Well, the pull bin thing is, I always, for a while now, I've wanted to talk about what I get in my pull bin and what we read. We know what you get. You review
I don't play around. You know what I get.
The Rat Queens. But I actually had to, just get rid of a ton of books out of my bin.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it wasn't just monetary things. It's like, what do I really need? You need to really ask yourself, what do you really need? And I dropped so much. I dropped, I'm down to, 2 DC titles.
Mm.
I was so DC and not Marvel, and now it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But I'm more Image than anything. Mm. I like Low. I still got rid of it.
Yeah,
I liked. I was reading Tech Jacket, which is kind of in the Invincible universe. Got rid of it.
Yeah,
I got rid of Spider-Man 2099. I got rid of Amazing Spider-Man because even though Amazing's one of that flagship, I'm not digging it.
I'm not digging it.
Then there's other books that I just pick up other books and I'm like, these are fantastic.
Yeah,
and I'll just focus on them and whatnot. I don't need complete runs of anything. I kept Moon Knight because I love Moon Knight. I kept Daredevil because I actually do collect Daredevil.
Okay.
All the different volumes.
Nice.
It's so hard. I'm down to probably 12 books or so, which is a lot, but that should tell you what I was actually getting before.
Right.
There's books, I get The Max, which is IDW. It's an old Image book by Sam Keith. I know it has an end date because it's just reprinting and recoloring and making it more presentable, I guess.
Sure.
And you can't get those original stories in trade anymore, so you need the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading that, and I'm like, well, I know once it hits 30-something, it's done.
Yeah,
And I still get things out of the previews. I still order extra books, but I'm not spending... I don't want to spend, $60 every week or something.
Right, you can save it and wait until you can get the trade, and it's probably cheaper or the same.
It's probably cheaper or the same, you're right. And I have that money to go focus on, oh, shit, what came in today? Oh, my God, it's first appearance of whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
I could actually afford it.
Right.
And then you add in the fact that we both do gaming. We both do Dice Masters.
Yeah,
we both
video games.
Video games. I enjoy Magic. like, I enjoy other things.
Phone
it's like,
games.
Fucking Marvel Puzzle
fucking
Quest.
Fucking Marvel Fuck Puzzle you. Quest. I Fuck hate your you. Life.
You're so good.
Ugh, can't
we'll
wait
make
to
up,
play.
We'll make up later.
Yes.
And then combine that with just kids and
right,
a wife, and it's terrible.
Yes, that's unfortunate. But at the same time,
it
it's,
is.
It's, we're not millionaires, so why no. are we? Let's not act like it. You know, no. like we have discretionary money, yes, and we use it on things that we need to use it on. But sometimes the things we need to use it on is groceries. So yeah. I think that you're making good decisions. And it also here's the thing: they deserve to be cut, right? Because right. they have to. They have to. You. They need to be good enough for you. And if right. they're not good enough for you, you shouldn't be in this very... It's like I'm helping you through a very, like, a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah.
And, like, I know you want to keep on to them. I know you do. And you love... But, you know, they keep beating you down with horrible, horrible stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep going back to them. And I think
right.
I'm so proud of you for,
for
standing
doing this.
Up for yourself and cutting them. Because they deserve to be cut until they become better.
Yeah.
Good
I mean,
for you.
Like I said, two DC books... which one is Wonder Woman, which is for my wife. Even though it is very good and I would read it.
Sure.
I haven't been, but I'd get that for my wife. That's her
yeah.
one book.
Yeah.
You know, and like three or four Marvel, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not now. Like I said, I'm an Image guy. I won't get rid of East of West. I
right.
won't get rid of Saga.
Sure.
Invincible. The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it has lulls, it's like, I've been on
it's
this ride for 130
yeah.
issues.
Yeah, totally worth the ride.
Let's keep going with it. And it has gotten really good in the past, like, two issues. It's gotten
sure.
way better.
Right.
So, like, there's, I just can't let it all go.
Mm-hmm.
But I let a lot go.
Wow. That's, you know, and I'll say that it is tough. And
mm-hmm.
it's good that you let it go because, you know, again, bad stories don't deserve to get your money. So,
right.
I just want you to know that you're a survivor, not a victim.
Yeah. Also, I'm not as against trades as I used to be. I used to hate trades.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just easier. Because if you aren't on top of an issue when it comes out, and it's gone instantly.
Yeah.
Marvel is making a mint off of third printings, fourth printings, fifth
yeah.
printings.
Yeah.
That would have never happened before. But they're making so much money off of that, they don't give a fuck if they don't have a huge print run.
Right.
And good for them, because they don't have extra shit laying around.
Yep.
Which I feel like DC probably does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. It's just tough.
Yeah. Well, I gotta do something similar, although I don't even have 12, so I think
right.
I need to, you know... But I do need to make some decisions on what I want and what I don't want.
Swap things around.
Swap things around, exactly. I think there are things that are kind of dying down that I need to just let go. I just need to let it go. I would sing the song, people, but I'm not going to, from Frozen.
Let it go. Let it go.
It's been saturated enough, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Really has.
Well, good. I think I will say that if anything I'm going to potentially cut immediately, it's probably going to be Uncanny X-Men.
Really?
I've thought about it. I've read it. There's a couple of good moments in the last issue that made it worth, you know, like basically the kids were fighting the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and then they were like, in the danger room,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, wait a second, why are we training to kill the Avengers? Like, this is, something's not right. Something's not right when we're training to fight Avengers who are supposed to be the heroes. So that was a cool moment, but in general, overall, the book sucks to me now.
So I guess, is that the type of book you get rid of it from your bin and you just pick it up on occasion?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anytime I see something cool or a tie-in, sure, I'll pick it up, see how the kids are doing. But
check in on the kids.
Make sure they're okay.
Make sure they're good.
Yeah.
Back on with your life.
Yep. Yep.
There are certain books I missed out on that I kind of want to read, and I might read them in trade, like
mm-hmm.
the new She-Hulk. I actually really liked,
yeah.
and I didn't keep up with it.
You didn't? I
and
thought
I,
you did.
No, I only read the first, like, two issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the art on the inside. I love the cover art. It's different. The painted
mm-hmm.
art is great on the cover. The inside art, very cartoony.
Sure.
I can get around it because the story's so good. But I really like Charles Soule. And he's written a bunch of stuff. He's doing the Death of Wolverine book.
Mm-hmm.
He does a book for Omnipress called Letter 44, which is a really cool concept of... there's like, hey, we've discovered aliens out in space, and oh, they got this big fucking thing pointed at us. We should probably go out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to alarm the public. And it's going to take us years to get out there. And then what happens is, hey, new president comes in. Hey, guess what, new president? There's a bit aliens out there, and they got this thing pointed at us. We got to go see if it's a weapon. And oh, by the way, we're almost there. So during your term, we're gonna fucking possibly have alien invasion.
Right.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
So it's kind of a cool story.
That is a cool story.
It's actually an Al recommendation. So there you go.
Mm.
But I'd like to check that out. I like Charles Soule. He's written other stuff I like. So, you know, and I love Quantum and Woody, which is a Valiant book.
Yeah.
It's just potty humor at its best. Love it. So I will read that in trade as well.
Ridiculous.
They have a goat that shoots laser beams out of its eyes.
I might read it now.
See? It's all that matters. I've sold so many copies of that book on that premise alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good premise.
Yep. I know how to sell things. What's its best selling point? A goat with laser beams. Mm-hmm. So let's get into our stuff. Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
What I guess I should go first because you only have one, although I think your one's going to take a while too.
Dude, my one's awesome.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all six of mine are good.
Sweet.
All right. Let's do with the fast ones.
Sure.
First, March to Axis is happening.
Yep.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I got Magneto because it's had March to Axis. I have Uncanny Avengers and another recent one's also March to Axis. They tie in together. Mm-hmm. The way they tie in together, though, you would think that Axis is almost over. Because,
really?
Yeah, because Magneto gets thrown into a concentration camp.
I'm sure he's not happy about
it. Yeah, and it's not his first time being there.
Sure.
Red Skull, obviously, there. Uncanny Avengers. Three of the team members get captured, thrown into the concentration camp. Alright, now we got four people in the concentration camp. The Uncanny Avengers team breaks out. They, on the way to leave, they hear Magneto. It's like, oh, let's go save Magneto, too. There's some cool dialogue going on because his daughter is there and Rogue is there. Mm. They're breaking out, and they're about to leave, and then Red Skull shows up and with his team. So it's his team and the Red Skull and Magneto and some of the Uncanny Avengers team. Mm. And I'm like, oh, the fight's about to happen. It's going to be over. But it's just started.
Really? So it kicks off with a huge slugfest.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kind of cool.
So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. So, in general, this is my first Magneto I've ever bought, actually, even though I've perused other Magneto books.
It's a good book.
It is a good book. And I really like this is perfect. I think the Red Skull Magneto tie-in is perfect because it goes back to the fact that Magneto used to be in concentration camps. It goes back to all the Jewish and Nazi. It ties it together perfectly, almost to the point of like, why hasn't Magneto and Red Skull been interacting way before now?
They have in the past.
Thank you. So
there's actually a great issue of Captain America where the Red Skull teams up with Magneto, and like halfway through it, he goes, "Hey, wait a minute, aren't you a Nazi?" And he just beats the shit out of him.
Really?
Yes.
That is epic.
Yep. Late 80s, early 90s kind of book.
So it's really good, and I think one of my favorite moments as well in this particular book, this is Magneto number 9, is that he goes in to save some mutants because the mutants are already captured. They already have collars on. Mm. It's already happening.
Wow.
And he saves two of them, and one of them refused to have the collar taken off. Mm. She was like, "No, this guy is effing crazy. He's psycho. He's in my mind all the time because he has Professor X's brain, and I don't want him to know because he'll just kill me." And Magneto's like, "Well, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to save this one girl. You can go fuck yourself because I don't care about you. If you're too weak to fight for yourself and defend for your honor and your freedom, I don't care about you."
Wow.
So it was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was it. That was Magneto number 9. March to Axis. Be prepared. Axis is going to be amazing.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. You weren't supposed to see that yet, but it's fine. I'll do an X Factor.
Okay.
This is my last Marvel.
Nice.
I have no more Marvel.
That's awesome.
And I have three more books left.
I know, that's great.
Uh-huh. So, all new X Factor. Okay. So, we've talked about it before in the past, obviously. You know my pull bin. Everyone knows my pull bin. Yep. This is actually the only book for my pull bin, too.
Nice.
Another good thing. I'm glad I stuck with it.
Yeah.
It's still good. Yeah. It's still so juicy good. And it's funny.
It's
juicy good.
Juicy good.
It's funny. Danger is doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love how much she wants to have sex all the time. It's
really
hilarious. Opening scene. Polaris. Drinking coffee. Danger sits in. Hi. Danger says, "Would you like to have sex?" Polaris spits out her coffee. "What the hell are you talking about? Wait, are you gay, Danger?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm very happy all the time." And no, she's like, "No, I'm not gay. I'm pretty, like, you know, neutral all the time." And Polaris is like, "No, I don't mean, like, gay." She's like, "Wait, what the hell am I talking about? I don't even know what I mean by that, talking to a robot about being gay or not."
Right.
It's just hilarious. And so, who do you think this is? It's a horrible art of that.
I thought it was like Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, it is Scarlet Witch. It is Scarlet Witch.
I was gonna ask you.
It's a horrible picture of her.
Right.
Anyways, the girls are going out. It's really good. It's worth picking up.
So it's a girls' night out kind of issue.
It's a girls' night out kind of issue. Polaris is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen her be a phenomenal character until this issue.
Okay.
She's just been crazy up until now.
Right, she's been full of rage.
And being crazy. Now, there's a lot of sister-brother stuff going on in this issue well. And that's why Scarlet Witch is there to begin with.
I assumed.
Yeah. That's cool. It is really cool. So, pick it up. Danger still the number one team member.
Does Danger have sex with anybody in this issue?
I cannot say.
Oh, but shit.
Polaris is not the only person offered sexual advances.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm going to say.
Is a gambit because he's irresistible to robots. I'm irresistible to robots.
So it was good. It was good. They go to a county fair, and some guy tries to kill his girlfriend. It
happens all the time at the county
fair. It actually it was almost too real. It was actually
really.
It was actually too real.
This is not an escape from reality. It's like watching the news.
Yeah. This is like something that could happen between a girlfriend and a boyfriend where the boyfriend goes crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah. So anyways, that's it. I'll go into yours.
You want me to do mine? Yeah. All right. I reviewed the issue before this on a previous podcast. Guardians of the Galaxy number 19, the Original Sin tie-in, where they're telling you what the fuck happened to Richard Rider, which is the original Nova. So there's at least one more issue after this that's going to keep explaining it. It's still Gamora interrogating Star-Lord over what happened in the Cancerverse with Thanos, Drax, Nova, and him, and the Cosmic Cube. At the end of the last issue, Star-Lord is holding the Cosmic Cube, and shit is, like, tearing him apart. He's like, and Thanos is like, give me the cube, give me the cube. So they're all like, fuck no, we're not giving you the cube.
Right.
So instead, Star-Lord blows Thanos the fuck apart with the cube. He blows him the fuck apart. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking. He's able to put down the cube. They're talking. All of a sudden, Thanos is back, and he punches Star-Lord completely in half. He punches right through his body. And they're like, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
So then, I think it was Drax. Somebody picks up the cube and kills Thanos.
Again.
And all of a sudden, Star-Lord's behind them, completely naked, because he just gets reborn without his clothes.
Uh-huh.
So, what is happening is people from our dimension inside the Cancerverse, you can't die. They can't die in this universe. So, no matter how many times you kill them, they're going to come back. So, like, Thanos and Star-Lord are running around naked, fighting each other. And Drax and Nova are there like, what the fuck? So they figured that out.
Okay.
And then there's a great, great moment where they're just talking very politely with each other. They're trying to figure out
what... Because
they can't die. They're like, all right, well. So we might as well figure out what we're going to do. And in the middle of it, Drax picks up the cube and he's talking to Thanos real politely. And he puts it against his forehead and blows him the fuck... He's like, does it hurt when you die? He goes, yeah. He goes, okay. And he blows him the fuck away. And he's like, all right, let's really talk because we only have about 2 minutes before he comes back.
That's awesome.
So, what ends up happening, though, is... the Revengers show up, which is your evil Avengers from this universe.
Okay.
Which sounds like a DC plot, doesn't it?
It does.
But that's what it is. So they show up, and they're fucking ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
They are violent as shit. However, nobody can die.
Right.
They're just gonna keep coming back. So it's this big, epic battle, bloodfest.
Sure.
And it's all one of those four... has to have the cube, otherwise they're going to get it. And
right.
It's hugely awful. But,
yeah.
So they're playing keep away. And
dying, coming back, playing keep away. Mm-hmm.
And
Thanos is included in the keep away?
Thanos is. They're trying to keep it away from him, but it's like, it's better he has it than them.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of thing.
All right.
Peter Quill is like, his dialogue is fantastic in this, where he's like, we're getting mentally worn down. It's only a matter of time before Thanos tries to team up with them and take the cube.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we have to find a way out. We just can't keep fucking doing this.
Yeah.
It ends. There's a great battle. There's great battles all across.
Nice.
The evil version of Giant Man or Ant Man or whatever you want to call him, he takes a rock, which is like a boulder, right,
mm-hmm.
to him. He smashes Thanos with the rock, but he didn't actually die, and Thanos punches through his hand. It was awesome. He's just drenched in blood. But then he gets blown the fuck away again, and it's because one of the Avengers, I think it's Captain America, got the cube.
Mm.
He got the cube by throwing his shield at Nova, who had the cube at the time, took his arm right off. And that was another thing that he said. He's like, we're just going to keep coming back. But if I start losing limbs, am I coming back without my limbs? Mm. Which they didn't really answer that, but Nova lost his arm and lost the cube.
Right.
So he's not dead. Is he going to slowly bleed out?
Right.
I'm sure they'll kill him before that, but
yeah.
Would he slowly bleed out and come back without his arm?
Hmm.
So, didn't see it taking that turn where they don't die.
Yeah.
And it actually was a great plot twist. This is Bendis, who writes your Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bendis is, like, amazing on this book. I wish I read this book from the beginning.
Hmm.
It's that good.
Wow.
So, it has its comical moments, but it like a Guardians book should. But it was fantastic. It was just so good. I can't wait to see how it ends.
Okay, so it doesn't end it. It's just...
No. So,
last thing that happens is Captain America gets the cube.
And all the evil Avengers are behind.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pose.
Splash page.
Nice.
So, I just want to know what happened to Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's coming back, because I love the original Nova.
Huh.
We'll see.
All right.
That's it for me.
All right. Well, I get three more.
Do it.
So we're going to start with Death Sigil, number 3.
All right.
By Stephen Sajic, we'll say.
Sure.
An Image book, so you know about it, right?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. So this is number 3. So obviously I didn't read number 1 or number 2. I'm just jumping in at number 3.
Randomly.
And I
like it.
And I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the premise is that people die. And, of course, you already know that.
Sure.
But you can also be brought back from death. And when you're brought back from death, one of the things you can do is join this team of people that kind of go around killing demons in the world.
Hmm.
Right? And so the idea is, and when you're brought back from life, everyone can see you. You're a normal person, but you just have, like, ghost white hair. That's the only difference, is that you have totally white hair.
Okay.
And so... It stars this one girl, and her name, who I can't think of right now. Now, Jane is her friend. I feel like I should know this.
It was the writer and the artist did the same thing?
I guess so.
Same writer-artist? That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, story, art, and creator, Stephen Sajic. So, I think it's a really good book, and the reason why I like it is because it introduces this girl who we're going to call... No, that's...
Girl A.
Girl A. Clara. Clara, yay!
That's close.
Her name was Clara. she has this feather. I guess when you die and you get brought back, you are then given a power.
Okay.
But you don't know what it is, and you have to figure it out on your own.
Okay.
So, like, and you're normally giving some sort of instrument, right? So for her, she got this, like, pen, feather pen. Whereas, like, this other guy named Sam, he got a grave-digging kind of shovel.
Okay.
Right? And so you just have to figure it out on your own how you use your power. So the whole, this book number 3 is her introducing herself to the rest of the team, asking them, how did you determine your power? How did you figure it out? To the point where she annoys everyone. She's like, look, you just gotta just go figure it out on your own because you're annoying us right now. anyways, these demons are kind of taken over the world through tattoos, basically. So if you are seduced by them, they'll just take you to a ink shop and you'll get a tattoo on you.
Hmm.
And that tattoo is actually the portal to let demons come in and out.
That's so, very creative.
I thought it was pretty interesting. And so, anyway, she ends up figuring out her power at the end.
Okay.
And it basically, she can read people's memories. And so you're thinking, why do we care about this reading of memories? Well, she actually stitches people back together with that. Huh. So you go through your mind, and you're like, where did you fuck up in your life? And let's go through this. So the first girl she saves is a lesbian girl. And she's like, all right, let's take a guide through your mind. And it starts with, like, the mother yelling to her husband, well, now everyone thinks my daughter's out with a whore junkie girl and blah, blah, blah. And so now everyone's talking about me. And she moves out. She's with this girl. The girl dies. And she's like, I didn't know what else to do. So I went and talked to this one girl, who ends up being, like, a demon of herself. And she convinces her to join the team. So anyways, I thought it was a really good book. There's a couple of really great characters in there. There's a girl named Maya, who's the daughter of another Death Sigil person. And Maya is fucking scary as hell when you first see her. Like, I didn't know what she was, because it's my first time seeing the book. But when I saw the picture of her, I freaked out.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, just her mouth.
Wow.
So, it's really, really cool. But then she's just a kid. She's, like, just a little kid is all she is.
Huh.
So, cool. The story's great. It's worth reading. It reminded me of how, like, comics can be just story and just be really good. It doesn't have to be all people flying through the air and stuff like that. It could just be a really good story. And this is a really good story with some superpowers, some supernatural stuff. But
I like that. Good mix.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So worth picking up. I think I will... I'm going to figure out if I'm going to put it in my bin or not. I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it. So a lot of good stuff there.
Cool.
Next one is Valiant. So I went from Image to Valiant.
Yeah.
Harbinger. Now, you said Harbinger existed in the past, correct?
It did.
All right. Well, this is my first time being introduced to them. And the reason I picked it up is because I thought there were some really cool characters on the front.
Yep.
And the reason I say that, really, it's this character right here that draws me in.
Yes.
She's immediately.
Overweight. Flying girl.
Blonde girl.
She was overweight in the old stories.
Was she? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason I thought it was cool is because, all right, that's a regular person that just got... Without even knowing the story, she has to be just a regular person that got powers somehow. Because normally it's hard for, like, you just don't tend to have overweight superheroes. It's just very difficult to have that. Unless that's the power. Exactly. Right. And you could tell...
Nothing can stop the blob.
Exactly. Someone who's flying, obviously, the weight is a... It could be an impediment, if anything.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
if I did some crunches, I'd fly better.
So the book in general was really good. There's something called Armor Hunters going on. I don't know anything about it.
It's a big event in Valiant. It's going through all their books. So you have Armor Hunters Harbinger number 3.
Yes.
Specifically.
That is correct.
And that's about all I know.
Okay. One of the things I liked about this book, and I had to like do some research to figure this out. So I haven't been reading Valiant, right? Mm-hmm. But I used to read something called Plasm.
Oh, I remember a long time ago.
And I loved Plasm. Yeah. I might have been the only person, but I loved it.
You weren't, but there weren't a lot of you.
There weren't a lot of me. And the reason I like that book, Plasm, is because it was a bunch of regular people that just got powers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's what this book embodies as well. I think Plasm and Harbinger has some sort... There are some similarities a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Even to the point where, you know, Plasm's kind of like a gross book, per se. Like, you know... Plasm everywhere.
Right.
This has a similar feel to it, especially like right away, like immediately. Like this, there's a bunch of bugs trying to kill everyone, and one of the things they do is they go inside your mouth.
Oh yeah, nice.
And that's very like that, to me. That's like modern Plasm right there. Mm-hmm. Looking at that panel, it's a very interesting book. The characters are great. Their powers are really interesting. I'm just intrigued. I want to know more about them. I want to know more about their power. Every single page is great.
Mm-hmm.
It draws you in the entire time. You're always flipping the page, waiting for the next thing to happen. So I was very, very impressed by it to the point where I will take out a book to put in Harbinger. I want Harbinger in my pull bin.
I want
these characters. I want to know everything about them because they're so freaking cool. And their story is amazing. And I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah. So Harbinger from Valiant.
That's cool.
I'll be impressed.
I've heard a lot of good things about the new Valiant. I haven't read a ton of it. What I have read, I've really liked.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of cool things going on with Valiant. I think they need to focus more on their books and not events, because I know there's another event coming, the Valiant.
Is it?
Yeah, there's going to be the Valiant, and it's going to focus on a specific group of these characters having to team up.
Okay.
Which is fine. You only have X amount of characters in your universe.
Yeah.
So, why not?
The only problem with that is that it's not going to get any new people, because you'd have to already know these characters, and that's what makes those kind of team-ups amazing. It's because, oh, I know that character. Like, I would never pick up the Valiant based on what you just said.
Uh-huh.
This is an event that's kind of like just a world-crazy situation, but they can still be their own team.
Right.
And just be dealing with that situation. That's what they did for this book.
Mm-hmm. What if the Valiant featured X-character, and Harbinger characters? Would you be more inclined then?
Yes-ish. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
because I'm just learning about Harbinger, so to individualize them in such a way like that is really difficult for me, because I wouldn't be able to, like, I would have, one of the best parts about having, like, Jubilee team up with Spider-Woman and Dr. Octopus is because I know what Jubilee's capable of. Mm-hmm. I know her personality. I know everything. So I'm really excited to see how she's going to interact with those two characters that are wildly different than she is.
Right.
Whereas just bringing in right now, I'm not attached to the Harbinger people, so I don't know how they interact. Gotcha. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what Valiant chooses to do going forward. I mean, there are trades you can order of Harbinger. You can get caught up on the current one. You could look for back issues of the old one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways you could go about it. I love the old Valiant, but it didn't stay good.
Yeah.
The early Valiant stuff was really good. Even if it's not, and people rag on it, but I'm like, Valiant was the top company at a time. Valiant was really good.
Yeah.
Really cool concepts. One of my favorite ones, nobody probably liked, was another group they had called Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, it was like a shield kind of thing. It was guys with guns running in. There was a satellite that could beam them a power, but you could only have one at a time. So it's like force field, run in, shooting everybody.
Right.
Flying. Okay.
That's what you got.
But you can only have one. So right. If you get shot when your force field goes down and you try to fly, you're dead.
Right.
And it was a team of like 10 guys, maybe, guys and girls, and it was a really cool book. I liked the concept. Was it an amazing book? No. It ran probably 30 issues and was bad at the end, but that's all those books.
Yeah. And I also, that's interesting. I think another thing I like about this, too, kind of going to what you just said, there's probably 12 characters in this book, and I like that large number of characters because...
Because you get your X-Men feel, but it's not like... Character of the week.
Exactly. Getting thrown on the team. Exactly. So I like it. And another thing, too, I like about this is that they have... At least two of them I know of have really OP power.
Okay.
But they're normally the kids, right? And so, like, this one, so they're fighting a bunch of bugs. There's a kid named Titan, right? And you're like, oh, it's just a kid. All right, that's his ability.
Nice.
As he summons that big, huge monster to, like, eat all the bugs.
That's awesome.
So I like that kind of perspective. Just like I like Maya in Death Sigil, because she's just a kid, but... When you see her, and people, please pick up this book so you can just see Maya alone, just a pretty epic panel. She's monstrosity. Like, she can literally wreck an entire city by herself. And I like that kind of overpower, but they're just kids situation. I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
All right, last one. I can't even deal with this right now because I'm so excited.
Yes. I didn't finish it yet.
Oh.
That's okay.
All right. Rover Red Charlie.
Finally. Came out.
A freaking Lee.
It's funny. You went away for a few days, and I said, it's going to show up. And I honestly didn't know it was going to show up, because you and I both ordered the trade of this.
Right.
And it showed up, and I just laughed my ass off.
That was ridiculous. Of course it showed up. Well, I'm gone.
Yep.
So Garth Ennis, Michael DePascal.
DePascal, yeah.
Sure, why not? Rover Red Charlie. I know I force you guys to go buy stuff all the time, and you do it because I'm such a charming person, but please buy this one. I don't have to even tell you about it. Just buy it. Let it fly off the shelves, because everyone should be reading this. That's my thought, personally.
Okay. It's Avatar, right? Is it Avatar?
It is Avatar. Okay. That is correct, the company.
Garth Ennis is one of the greatest writers of all.
Yeah, is it Ennis, not Ennis?
People say it both ways. I just say Ennis.
Okay.
Right. I guess I'd have to go ask him personally, because I don't fucking know.
Maybe we should. So this is four or five volume? Four or five books?
Something like that. This is the whole thing.
This is the whole thing. It's good. It's just good. So the idea is that the world's gone fucking nuts.
Yep.
The whole world's gone nuts. People are killing each other. Yep, and there's no reason. You don't know why. You just know people are killing each other, and they're killing each other graphically, and they're killing each other in any way possible. And you have these dogs that are not affected by the craziness, basically. Animals don't seem to be affected by the craziness, which is good. Humans will kill animals, so that's not like, oh, animals are safe. No. Animals will die. In this apocalyptic world, if they get a hold of them. Kids are a big part of this book, surprisingly, in terms of dying and death.
Yeah.
Like, they cause death, and they're dying everywhere. So, normally, you just see the adults, and like, alright, that's what I expect to see some adults or whatever. You don't see kids too often.
Right.
And there's some really, really, really sad moments in here. So, one of the things, I don't know if you got into this or not, if you're already mentally... if you have some kind of mental condition, you're not affected by the craziness, basically. Not fully. Not fully. So, what you have is a world of those that don't have mental disorders in any sort of way are killing each other, and those with mental disorders are not affected somehow. And you have these dogs, Rover, Red, and Charlie. So it's a hound dog, like a golden retriever, and some kind of like a...
It's like a border collie.
Border collie. Yep, I would say it's a border collie. Anyways, they're on this journey, and the journey is to go to the Big Splash.
This is like apocalyptic Milo and Otis.
Yes. Okay? Let's
just be clear.
Yes, it is.
They got to go to the Splash because they're on an island.
Yes, they're on an island, and they're trying to get to the Splash, the Big Splash. And they meet dogs along the way. Have you got to the cat yet?
I got to the cat.
The cat was awesome. Yes. So the cat is kind of like telling them, oh, everything's crazy now. You should just go over the bridge and get out of here. So just go over that way, go to the bridge. And they're like, what's a bridge? We don't know what a bridge is. And the cats are just a little bit smarter, so they knew what the bridge was.
They call it a hiss pot.
Yeah, they call the cats hiss pots. That's pretty awesome, too. I love how they call it. Yeah, they call everything a certain
name.
The dogs
have different names for everything.
Yeah.
Like, the humans that aren't affected yet, like, when they're talking, they only hear certain words. Like, if they said sit, they would know sit, but they don't know anything else. It's just jumbled word balloons.
Which is great. Yeah. And, I love the cat one because it's kind of the first introduction of like depth to the book, right?
Yes, is the cats.
Yes, because the cat's telling them to go, but really the cat's setting up a trap because now that the cats are realizing that, well, we don't have feeders anymore, which that's the name that they give humans or feeders. They're like, well, we're going to have to kill and eat dogs because we didn't like them anyway, so let's just kill them and eat them. Mm-hmm. So they go over the bridge and there are all the cats ganged up around them like, oh shit, what are we going to do? And the bridge is, like, right behind them, the water. So they're like, let's just jump over the edge, but just kind of grab onto this rope as we go down or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I love how the conversation is basically the dog saying, well, the cats are smarter than us. So we need to get out of here because they're too smart. They understand how to deal with this apocalypse, but we don't understand how to deal with it. We're not smart enough. We're not smart like them. So anyways, this whole journey across the U.S., basically, trying to get to, I think they're basically kind of like on the East Coast heading towards the West Coast.
I just assumed they were in New York.
Yeah.
On Manhattan Island.
I thought so too, but it's just strange because, I guess the river is what they're talking, I guess the Delaware or the Hudson. And they're trying to get over.
Who knows?
Right, because the Big Splash is right there if they were on the other side, you know, in terms of the oceans. Anyways, just highlights really quick. They meet a guard dog that's for the military named Audie. And he's defending the American flag the entire time. And he's like refuses to let any of the dogs go near the American flag because all the feeders are dead. That's his last order, was to defend the flag. So he doesn't know how to do anything else except for defend the flag. It was also interesting in terms of words that the dog that was trained by the military knew so many words because he was just completely trained, and so he knew tons and tons and tons of words. And he always said sir at the end of everything.
Right.
He's like, do not touch that flag, sir! And like kind of stuff like that. It was pretty funny. Villain. You gotta have a villain, right? This huge monstrosity of a bulldog is the villain. The best villain ever. Yeah. You love this dog at the end, and you hate his guts at the same time.
Right.
He basically is, he's trained a human that has a mental disorder to be chained to him. So he's basically dragging the human around. Gross stuff happens, is all I'm gonna say. Gross things happen. but ultimately the dogs are like, we need to save this human because that's not how dogs and humans are supposed to interact. So they go, they do stuff, they fight the dog. The dog you think dies, doesn't die. And he chases him. They chase the dog for the rest of the book. And at the end you learn that that dog was kind of beaten and starved and made into a pit bull fighting dog. And so it's not his fault, but at the same time, now he's like...
Now he needs to be stopped.
Yep, now he needs to be stopped. So they try to stop him. Legs get ripped off, is all I'm going to say. People die. Dogs die. And it's just good. It's just good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's funny. It's funny. Yep. It's funny. At the end, it's hilarious. When you get to the part where you're reading, I'm a fish, I'm a fish, I'm a fish, you're going to bust out laughing. You're going to bust out laughing is all I'm going to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, at the just to kind of give you a teaser, at the end, you're pretty sure that everyone's dead, human-wise. Humans are just dead. They're gone. They're gone. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole dialogue of the dogs talking to each other. Well, who's going to take over now? And they're like, well, obviously the dogs. And they're like, what about the cats? Well, the cats are too lazy to care about anything, so they're not going to actually take over anything. And otherwise, you have the clackers and the moo-moos, and it was like the cows and stuff like that. And they're like, they're obviously too stupid to do anything. And he's like, points to the sky. He's like, well, what about them? He's like, no, they're too tasty. They're not going to survive. So it's just this whole dialogue of who's going to take over next.
That's
and
awesome.
It's really good. I'm not talking about it the best I can, but it's just because I'm too excited. It's because I'm too excited.
I need to finish it. I got to the cats. I didn't get past
that's,
it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it's good. It's worth a read. That's all I got.
Nice. Well, Garth Ennis is a great writer. Mm-hmm. Preacher, Cross. He's done war stuff that's great. Battlefield stuff. And The Boys. So he's known for gross shit.
Yeah,
but he's a great writer.
I will say, Rover Red Charlie, Harbinger, and Death Sigil. So those are the three that I, from companies I'm not used to reading from. The reason these three are important is because I could not stop reading, personally.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I started reading, I couldn't stop until it was done. I couldn't. There's no way I could put it down. Mm-hmm. So every panel was good, every page was good. I enjoyed it. Now, what was your thought on Rover Red Charlie, just on what you've read so far?
I love the dialogue. It's the dialogue that's important.
Because
you're taking you're not even having a human main character.
Right.
You have these three dogs that make up your main core group character.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Garth Ennis. Garth Ennis is one of my favorite period writers at all. And just like, I knew what to expect. I knew the style. And he blew me away with it. He really knocked it out of the park, because I know what he's capable of. And you told me that idea, and I'm like, that's fucking weird. And then you told me Apocalypse, and I'm like, is this a Garth Ennis book? And you're like, it is a Garth Ennis book. He has that style, and he's crazy, and he does weird shit. And if he wasn't writing books, he'd be murdering people. But I really like him, and I really like this book. And if anybody's going to pull it off, it's him.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say, the first book is good. Everything else after that is beyond phenomenal. First book is probably the least...
It's the setup.
It's the setup. Mm-hmm. It's the setup. Everything else... And the setup is amazing. You know I don't like setup, but I love the setup.
Setup's good, but you got to get through it to get to the...
Yes. So buy the trade, because then you get it all at one shot. I would be so pissed if I had to read this issue by issue. I'd be pissed.
I'd be
so mad. Yeah. I'd be so mad. I really needed this to all be in one trade, so I could just read right through it. It's so good.
And this is proof, people, to check out your other companies that aren't the big two.
Yeah.
Besides Image, there's a lot of other good companies. Omnipress, Avatar, Valiant, Top Cow. You know, there's a bunch. So
yeah,
check them out and see what these great writers are doing besides everything you know.
Yeah. I was shocked. This is the most I've ever picked up of non-Marvel stuff.
I forced you to get that Harbinger book. I forced you. And I'm glad I did.
Kind of did. I almost didn't pick up Death Sigil because I thought you read it already. So
I didn't. You didn't believe me that I didn't read it.
But you should read it. It's really good.
I will.
Good. All right. That's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to today's mini-sode. And check us out on the Facebooks. Check us out, capesandscalespodcast.com. Email us, capesandscalespodcast@gmail. And hopefully we'll see you out at the cons. We'll see you guys around.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate with us. Send us emails, posts, whatever you want. We're easy going, guys. Pretty acceptable of all your craziness. So there you go. All
right. Well played. Have your dog spayed and neutered.
Goodbye.